This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik. Today we look at precision medicine, also called personalized medicine. It's an approach that customizes healthcare to the individual, your genetic makeup, your diet, your lifestyle. Precision medicine, especially the use of genetic information, is getting more popular worldwide. But here in Malaysia, when was the last time a doctor checked your DNA? Likely never. Why not? So today we will look at precision medicine in Southeast Asia. How might it help us and why haven't we seen more of it? Freelance journalist Lau Yao Hua reported for this show with support from the Sante Perso Initiative, a Switzerland-based platform that furthers public debate of precision medicine. Vorasak Chotlasak is a pediatrician at King Chulalongkorn Memorial Hospital in Bangkok. In 1999, when he returned to Thailand,
one of the first patients I met was a five-month-old girl. She was referred from another hospital. I thought if we couldn't give her a diagnosis, she would die in less than 24 hours. Her condition was so bad.
Other doctors couldn't tell what was wrong with the baby girl, but Vorasak happened to recognize her symptoms for a rare genetic disorder and saved her.
Now she is 21 years old, approximately, had normal growth, normal development, and now in a university, in a prestigious university. He would come to me last visit, saying she called me in Thai, it's like, a medical dad, something like that.
But Vorasak had lost patients who had similar diseases but were diagnosed too late. A fast and accurate diagnosis could save a patient's life or prevent permanent disability.
We want these rare and undiagnosed disease patients to be diagnosed by a system because the technology is here. It's available. So it should depend less on knowledge and experience of a physician.
A rare disease is one that happens in fewer than 1 out of 2,000 live births. But there are over 7,000 different rare diseases, and together they affect 5 to 8% of the world's population, not a small number. No single doctor could diagnose hundreds of rare diseases, yet at least 80% of known rare diseases show up in our genes and we can identify them there.
Right now, we have a technology able to read their genome, all the 3 billion letters within days. So that would help us to give a diagnosis in time and hopefully their life, their family, to benefit from this technology.
Our genomes, that is our complete genetic makeup, provide the blueprint for how our bodies function and respond to the environment. Except for identical twins, everyone else has a unique genome of about 3 billion pairs of DNA letters. If I compare my genome with yours, I would find about 3 million differences. These variations could mean I am more likely to develop certain diseases or that I react well to certain drugs, but you don't. Accounting for these variations in an individual is what precision medicine is all about.
So we're now looking at individuals. So before we used to, if there was a genetic variant, I guess without the knowledge that we have today, we would just say, well, everybody has a certain risk. You know, and we would give quite a wide range and then treat according to that risk. Everyone might get similar treatment.
That's Dr. Yasmin Bilstra, the principal genetic counselor at the SingHealth Duke NUS Institute of Precision Medicine in Singapore.
But now with precision medicine, we're really trying to understand the individual, what genetic variants they have, and how to use this for specific treatment for that individual.
Precision medicine isn't limited to screening genes to give the best insight about a patient's disease or treatment. It also accounts for the patient's diet and lifestyle. But genetics is arguably getting most of the focus. The United Kingdom had sequenced 100,000 genomes and now aims to do 5 million genomes by 2024. The United States, China, Japan, and Saudi Arabia are all building large genome databases of their own people. Here in Southeast Asia, Singapore is already halfway towards its goal of sequencing 10,000 whole genomes. Dr. Soumya Jamwar, who heads the SingHealth Duke NUS Genomic Medicine Center in Singapore, explains.
Understanding and recognizing that genomics is playing a bigger role in routine medical healthcare than in the past, right? In the past, genetics was considered as a niche specialty, very few people looking at genetics. But the examples from the West where genetics is driving or increasing how healthcare is delivered kind of give an impetus for SingHealth to say, look, we want to be in a similar space and we want to be ready as well.
Up north in Thailand in March 2019, the government approved a $150 million fund for a five-year national plan called Genomics Thailand Initiative under the Ministry of Public Health. The plan will build a healthcare ecosystem founded on cataloging the genomes of 50,000 Thais.
The vision of the plan is that we will try to position Thailand as one of the leading countries in Asia in application of genomic medicines.
That's Dr. Surakameth Mahasirimongkol, Director of Genomics Medicine and Innovation Support at Thailand's Ministry of Public Health.
The Ministry of Public Health is the biggest healthcare service provider in Thailand, and we have 800 hospitals and around 8,000 health centers. And we are going to have the primary care cluster, which is one family physicians and around four or five people in one team. And that team will be responsible for around 10,000 people.
The family care cluster teams, he describes, will oversee all of Thailand's population in the next 8 years. They will collect detailed history of family health and identify families at risk of genetic diseases. By 2040, the ministry hopes to
extend life expectancy of Thai people from 75 to 85. And then we look at the disease with high mortality. And those are like liver cancer, lung cancer, cervical cancer, and infectious disease like tuberculosis, HIV, and other things. Many of these things is easier to control with genetic testing.
While our neighbors move ahead with building their genome databases, Malaysia tries to catch up. A group of physicians and scientists under the umbrella of Academy Science Malaysia, led by geneticist Dr. Rahman Jamal of University Kebangsaan Malaysia, has prepared a position paper to convince the Malaysian government to launch a national precision medicine plan. They aim to sequence up to 200,000 whole genomes. Rahman gives an example of how precision medicine could help Malaysians.
Okay, let's take a more common disease, right? Type 2 diabetes, very common. One in five of Malaysians has type 2 diabetes. How does precision medicine help here? Well, we know we have to build this knowledge, but we know from projects or research done in the Western countries where they have profiled thousands and thousands of type 2 diabetes. They know these type 2 diabetes are clustered into several groups based on the genetic variants. And each group may respond to different type of treatment. That's the reason sometimes doctors prescribe certain anti-diabetic drugs. It doesn't work. Then they change and still doesn't work. So precision medicine provides the knowledge in terms of personalizing the treatment towards each individual so that they get the best outcome.
The technology to read or sequence genes is getting better and cheaper by the year. 10 years ago, you would have to pay more than 50,000 ringgit to sequence your complete genome. Now, you only need to pay about 6,000 ringgit. The sequencing cost is expected to drop further. So why don't countries like Thailand and Singapore wait a few more years to push for precision medicine?
Two main reasons. One, if we wait, lots of patients would die. And the cost of sequencing will definitely going down. But the total cost probably not going down at all or not that fast. You need more genomic database. You need a software. You need computer scientist, and you need someone to sign it and take responsibility for that report. And that now is more expensive than the sequencing cost itself.
Funding is one challenge, and there are quite a few more when it comes to implementing precision medicine in public healthcare, or even just the genomics part of it.
Right now, even though we have technology, the patient doesn't understand. They need pre-test genetic counseling. We don't have enough medical personnel to deliver that pre-test genetic counseling and to understand which genetic test is appropriate for this individual. And we don't have a public funding for genome sequencing. We don't have a system to manage the huge amount of genomic data. And we don't have the post-test genetic counselors enough for the demand.
After the break, we take a closer look at some of these challenges. Stay tuned to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. I'm T. Shao-Eek. Before the break, we learned that Singapore and Thailand have begun to integrate precision medicine into their public healthcare. They're building large databases of local population genomes. Malaysia hasn't really started yet, but there's effort in that direction. We continue to look at some of the major challenges that these countries face. Let's start with the genome database itself.
And if you look at what is happening has or had happened in the past in terms of genomic data, majority of the genomic data came from Western populations. It was Caucasian, Northern European.
That's Dr. Soumya Jamwar, a pediatrician and geneticist at the KK Women's and Children's Hospital in Singapore. By 2019, among published studies that looked at genomes and diseases, nearly 80% of the genome samples had European ancestry, while only about 10% were of Asian descent.
So the problem is that if you're trying to use genetics to guide therapy or to aim for precision medicine, you need to understand what is the right reference within your own population context.
The right reference means the genomes that are most similar to the patients, but without the disease. With such a comparison, the disease signatures in the patient's genomes would be much more obvious, like a red flag in a sea of green. So the right reference would be genomes of people that are of the same ethnicity and locality as your patient. But when Soumya compared his Singaporean patients with the Western databases to look for red flags to point to rare diseases,
we were left on an average about 2,000 variants per individual.
That's like 2,000 red flags.
But once we had the local data available, that number dropped by close to 50% to about 1,100 variants. The advantage that the SG5K database did was it helped us to filter down more efficiently the variants that would help me understand what is causing the patient's medical condition.
Other geneticists like Dr. Rahman Jamal and Dr. Vorasak Chotlasak also emphasize the importance of sequencing the genomes of local populations. It lays the foundation for applying precision medicine in public healthcare.
So to me, the pitfall will be if we continue to ignore this problem and not build that local reference database.
A genome database is the first step. Then we would need to store the data, analyze it, interpret the results, and translate the findings into a decision or advice for the patient. Stacks of powerful computers will be put to work, managed by computer scientists and bioinformaticians. These talents are short in supply and must be trained. And someone's got to help the patients understand the genetic tests. That's the job of the genetic counselors, someone like Dr. Yasmin Bilstra at the Sing Health Duke NUS Institute of Precision Medicine in Singapore.
We are there to help relay genetic information through the family. So this information, I guess, extends beyond patients that we see. So we help them understand how the inheritance works, which family members are at risk. And we do get questions a lot about, well, how do I give this information to my family members? What do I tell them? When is the right time to tell them? So things like, you know, should I tell them now they're at school, they're at high school, or they're about to get married, or maybe they're about to have children?
The results of a genetic test can tell you what's your risk for developing certain diseases. And that kind of information might affect your insurance coverage or employment opportunities. Dr. Rahman Jamal, geneticist at University Kebangsaan Malaysia, tells us what it's like in Malaysia.
Applying precision medicine does not mean you're trying to deprive someone of a health insurance coverage. That's the reason developed countries have the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. You should not discriminate someone who carries a certain genetic variant against a health coverage. So they have an act. Ours here, we don't have such act yet, which means we need to develop this act.
It seems there is no such act in Singapore either.
At the moment, it's all up to the individual policies. So all insurance policies are very different, you know, in their clauses. So what we do recommend, though, is that if insurance is a concern, people put their insurance policies in place first and then go ahead with genetic testing.
Genetic counsellors are lacking in Southeast Asia. Yasmin says that SingHealth has more than 10 genetic counsellors and is training more, while Surakameth Mahasirimongkol of the Thailand Ministry of Public Health says they plan to train about 100 more in 5 years. Back in Malaysia, there is no national coordinated endeavour to develop precision medicine into public health care. Rahman Jamal, who is leading the special working group under Academy Science Malaysia to pitch the government on a national precision medicine plan, has an idea on how to get the government's support.
I believe this move under the Academy of Science umbrella is strategic because we have convinced the council. The council will bring this paper up either as a cabinet paper or through the National Science Council. It's not about getting money, because at this moment in time, I believe if you ask for money, then the government would say this is not the time. But what I believe is to show them the value of doing this. This is about providing better treatment, better outcomes, better diagnostics and so on. That could be actually estimated in terms of survival, in terms of productivity, life years gain, in terms of quality adjusted life years and so on, which a health economist can put a quantum to it in terms of money saved from healthcare. It is saving the government money in terms of visits to the hospital, outpatient admission to clinic, cancer surgeries, complications of diabetes, sudden death due to cardiac disease and so on. I believe this is how we should pitch to the government. But if you start by saying that I want 100 million ringgit to start this project, I believe we will fail.
If it were hard to ask the government for money before, it would be much harder now with economies battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. But the geneticists we spoke to keep their hopes up.
Well, we like to see ourselves just like Thailand. In 5 years, we're probably halfway through the 100,000 genomes. You look at when we released our position paper, you know, within 5 years, we would have 50,000 Malaysian genomes sequenced, and we have our database and our focus on cancers, other non-communicable disease, pathogens as well.
And Dr. Saumya Jamwar of Singapore is already looking forward to sharing future progress.
Hopefully, if we do have a chance to speak again in the future, there will be more things to share. So this is a sort of an evolving space, and I expect this space to grow in the coming years at a much faster pace than it was in the last decades.
For Dr. Vorasak Chotlasang, the pediatrician and geneticist in Thailand, the knowledge and technology in genetics and precision medicine is ready to save many more lives. 21 years ago, he saved a baby girl from a rare genetic disorder.
But that requires good luck, that medical specialist and the disease that the patient has matched. And that's rare. If she had another disease that's not fall into my specialty, she would have died already. If I asked my colleague to come in and he or she wait for, let's say, 5 hours, the patient would have died. So it depends on luck. What we want to do is to change luck to system.
The next 5 years will tell if Singapore, Thailand, and Malaysia realize their goals to implement a system of precision medicine and give the right treatment to the right patient at the right time. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.